Hallelujah. Amen. Say it with me. We are family.
We are family.
341 times, somebody who did the math. Between 341, 343, I forget. It's 340-something times in the New Testament alone. The word that is used for brethren and brother. That sistren is in there. Amen. We are family. And it always comes from the same root word in the Greek, from the same womb. Everybody say from the same womb. What makes you a brother and sister? You're from the same womb. We're not from the same physical womb, the same earthly mother, but we're all from the same spiritual womb. Can you say amen? And that makes us family. And because we're family, God deals with us as he doesn't want to just give a few of us victory and let everybody else just languish in defeat. The Bible says the fivefold ministry is till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, till we all come, that we be no more children, no more immaturity. Can you say amen? No more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. By the cunning craftiness of men wherein they lie in wait to deceive. But we all come to the unity of the faith, to the what? To the fullness, the measure of the stature of Jesus. What prize are you after today? You know, you hear this all the time. Keep your eyes on the prize. Well, what is the prize of the high calling? You know, we need to identify that. We need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit because we need to be after the right thing as Christians. Amen. Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before, I press, amen, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Immediately, the first thing that comes in most of our minds would be heaven. I want to make heaven my home. The prize of the high calling is to get through this fallen world with its tests and temptations and arrive in heaven where all that's behind me forever. That is not the prize that Paul was after. That is not the highest calling of a Christian. The highest calling of a Christian is not to escape hell and end up in heaven. It's an important calling. Can you say amen? If you can't get excited about heaven, you ought to at least be excited over not going to hell. It ought to stimulate something in you. Amen. I was lost, but now I'm found. Praise God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved me from what? From the wrath of God, from eternal banishment and punishment. If I ever write a book one of these days, maybe my book will have more impact in these last days than my preaching presence. But if I ever wrote a book, one chapter would be whatever happened to heaven. To hear a good sermon on heaven, because the church has become so earthbound, you have to go to a funeral. To hear a good sermon on heaven. Amen. We need good sermons on heaven without anybody having to die to have to hear it. Can you say amen? How many expect to go to heaven? How many believe we ought to find out a little bit about what's in store for us? Hallelujah. It's exciting what God has in store for us. Hallelujah. How many believe the lost are really lost? That the only alternative to heaven is hell? You know what my second chapter would be? Whatever happened to hell? See, now it's relegated into the fire and brimstone category of preachers of yesterday. George Whitefield and others that talked about this place. Listen, if heaven doesn't attract you, hell should stimulate you to get right with God. Amen? I mean, if you can't conceive enough of what the joys of heaven and the bliss of heaven to want to make the decision to truly follow Christ, the reality of hell should stimulate us to at least not want to end up in that place. If you don't love God enough to serve Him for heaven, you should fear God enough to not want to be lost forever. Amen? Whatever happened to hell? Did Satan close it down? We make jokes about the place. See, the bumper sticker, heaven don't want me and hell is afraid I'll take over. No one's going to rule in hell, not even Satan. Someone said he'd rather rule in hell than to serve in heaven. No, no one's going to rule in hell. Hell is real. But you don't hear about it because people don't want to hear about it, because you have to really stop and think about it, eternal things. Jesus was astonished that people would take eternity so lightly. Because the soul is going to live forever. Did you know everyone is going to be raised from the dead? A different time for a different place. But every person who's ever lived and died is going to come back to life. To live somewhere. Forever. Everybody say forever. We sing the song about heaven. 10,000 years. Enjoying the joys of heaven, it'll just be starting. In fact, you can't measure it because there's nothing to juxtapose it against. There's nothing to measure it with. Eternity is timeless. 10,000 years in heaven, it'll have just begun. 10 billion years in heaven, it'll have just begun. Here's the tragedy and the trap. It's more than tragic. It's preachy without compassion for souls, because preachers have lost the vision of heaven and hell. So many preachers today are locked into the here and now and meeting the felt needs, which means the immediate need. You need a better job. You need your kids to do right. You need your wife to straighten out. You need your husband to quit it. Can you say amen? And we want God to take care of that. And listen, God knows what you have need of. And He cares about your kids and your salary and your healing and your families. But the most important thing about you is your immortal, eternal soul. And Jesus said, what will man give? What is it? He don't get it. How can he be so foolish and blind? What will a man give in exchange for his immortal, eternal soul? Almost every funeral in America, talking to the living, there is a group of living people there. And I have preached funerals where people didn't know how it was with their soul. And I really don't talk about where they are. I don't try to console by telling you that they're in heaven having the time of their life. Because everybody's not going to heaven. In fact, how many believe the Bible should be the authority on that? Most people are not going to heaven. But you'd think everybody's going to get there. There's one pastor that believes in universalism. You know what that is? That he paid the price for the sins of the world. Therefore, without receiving Christ as your Savior, you're going to end up in heaven no matter what you do. And it's a lie out of the pit of hell. How shall they believe upon him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall he go except he be sent? He that believeth on me shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Universalism is, and there's tens of other scriptures or bunches of other scriptures that it's already refuted by Jesus himself. We're not going to answer to that pastor. We're going to answer to the judge of all flesh. When he comes to what? Not just to take his church home, but to judge the quick and the dead. The alive and the dead. There's a second resurrection coming. Amen. And it's the resurrection of the unrighteous. The first resurrection is the rapture. Oh, it's not the second coming. It is the rapture of the church. And when it occurs, it is a secret coming. The second coming is a universal coming. The whole world will see him when he comes in his glory in the second coming. He will stand physically upon Mount Olive, and that mountain Olivet shall split in half to let his people get away from those intent on destroying them. And the Bible said the whole world will mourn when they see him coming, because the one they have rejected as Savior is now coming to judge the earth. And John said, here's what he'll look like when he comes in his glory. His hair is white as wool. His eyes are as a flame of fire. It means he's coming to execute the judgment and wrath of God. Wrath is justifiable anger. And the Bible said of everyone who doesn't believe, the wrath of God clings to them. Like super glue. The wrath of God abides constantly upon them. This God is love message. He loves you too much to leave you in sin and let you go to hell. He wants to confront you. Convict you. Set you free and save you. He can't coddle you and do that. Whatever happened to heaven? When did the church get so earthbound? We'd rather have a mansion here than a mansion there. We'd rather have material blessings here than spiritual blessings that will help us to keep our eyes focused there. What is the prize? Is it wealth here? In the old covenant, God couldn't bless them with the Holy Spirit and with deep revelation. He could only show his blessing in the physical material. But in the new covenant, it bypassed that. It transcended that. Hallelujah. There's something in the New Testament called the true riches. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And Paul was after it with everything he was and everything he had. I press, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth, Brother Taylor, to the things that are before me. I press. I strain forward. I go against the wind, against the tide, against the current, against the culture, against the grain. Can you say amen? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing about it, when you get the true prize of the high calling, you get heaven threw in as a bonus. You escape the damnation of hell as a bonus. But heaven is not your grandest goal, and it's not God's greatest purpose for you. Wow. Why did he put the fivefold ministry in the church? And what are they supposed to be achieving? What is the challenge they're supposed to be giving so we're all moving in that direction? He has said in the church, Ephesians 4 said, the pastor and teacher and the evangelist, the apostle and the prophet, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we be no more children, immature, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, till we all come to the unity of the faith. We're all speaking the same thing. We're all arriving and we're all moving in the same direction. And what is God wanting to achieve in his church? Till we come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Amen. See, all things don't work for good if you're selfish and self-seeking. Only when you're following God's pattern. If you get rich and your heart's already after riches, it's going to make you more worldly. It's just going to help pull you into this world structure and system and values. There are people tell me if I had $1 million, I'd bless the church. I pray you get it. And I pray you give most of it away before it gets you. Amen? Before it gets a hold of you. For they that would be rich, see, that's not the prize. That's not the goal of this thing. What happens to them? They fall under the spell of the world. There's something that chokes the very word of God out of us, keeps it from being fruitful. And it's called the deceitful. Number one is the deceitfulness of riches. What is the deceitfulness of riches? I'm glad that you ask. The deceitfulness of riches is this. If you had this and that, it's what riches can buy. It's not just money stacked up. It's what you can get with it. If I had that house, that car, that facelift. Like the lady that my dad's went, she's about, well, almost 50, I guess. But, you know, she looks younger, and she dressed so nice and everything. But she had a good attitude toward aging, because I would say, "We'll see you next time." And she'd say, "Bye-bye." After a while, you can wave with that. Can you say, "Man?" She'd say, "Bye-bye." She's a red-headed gal. She's crazy as a loon. But anyway, we liked her. Amen. In that place with all that pressure, where everybody had cancer that was there, bringing someone with cancer, it was nice to see someone that looked at life with a little bit of levity. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you something today. I'm glad that I'm on the King's Highway. I'm glad that I am born again. If God didn't do anything else for me or give me anything else this side of heaven, I have great reason to rejoice. Can you say amen? I have great reason to run with patience the race that is set before me. Why? Because I was a lost man on my way to a devil's hell, and he snatched me out of that lost condition, convicted me, saved me, and sealed me with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Can you say amen? You know what seal means? Seal is the Greek word to brand, to mark as one's own. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Nevertheless, the foundation of God, in all of this shaking, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are his. Can you say amen? He's not going to have to figure it out and weigh us in the balance. He knows them that are his. Our names are already entered into the citizenship of heaven while we are yet here at home in the body on this planet. Amen. Our citizenship. You say, I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And I'm a citizen of the New Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And while I'm down here, I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We're not citizens of earth, journeying on our way to heaven. We're citizens of heaven on our way home. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he marks us, brands us as his own. He seals us by giving us. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Spirit of God coming in. When you get saved, the Spirit of God enters you. And it's Christ in you by the Spirit that is the hope of glory. It's the earnest of your inheritance. It's the down payment on heaven, because if God can live in you by the Spirit, Christ can live in you by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can live within you. You can live in the city, because it's not the gold that makes it holy. It's not the pearly gates that make it holy. Amen. It's not the bejeweled foundations that make it holy. It's not even the river of life or the tree of life that makes it holy. God is what sanctifies that place. Can you say amen? God comes down here, appears on a bush. Yeah. Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Yeah. Hallelujah. So if the God that sanctifies heaven comes into you and me, then there's a place in our life that the blood of Jesus is so cleansed. You know what? They're pressing on Jesus. They're pushing on Jesus. They're shoving on Jesus, because everybody wants something from Jesus. Amen. And the disciples said, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? Everywhere we go, they're pushing, they're pressing, they're knocking us out of the way. So here comes a woman, almost tripped me, crawling on her hands and knees to touch the hem of your garment. Can you say amen? They're all over you. The kids are running at you. The people are coming. How are you going to be intimate with us and not the world? He said, if any man love me and keep my commandments, I and my Father will come to him. And we will make our abode with him. Amen. We're going to be with you spiritually in a way I could never be with you physically. Amen. You think you're going to lose something. You're going to gain something when I go. When I go up, somebody's coming down. If I don't go up, he can't come down. But if I go up, he's coming down. Can you say amen? I will not leave you comfortless, which is the Greek word for orphaness. I won't leave you like an orphan without a parent to love you and care for you, protect you, provide for you. Can you say amen? I will send you another comforter. You know what that word means? A paraclete in the Greek. And in the actual Greek, more than just one that acts in your behalf, he says one just like me. Can you say amen? Because when he comes, he will not speak of himself. He will testify of me. Can you say amen? He will mediate my presence, the Father's presence in your life. More than power occurs when the Holy Spirit comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Wow. And he brands you. So the Bible said in the book of Revelation, there's a great white throne judgment. And this is not for the righteous dead. This is for the wicked dead. The earth shall give up its dead. No one will escape standing before God and accounting. And we think he doesn't notice. And we think he doesn't even care about our sins. The Bible said when the dead, the sea will give up her dead. Everybody that's ever died at sea is going to come back to life and stand before that throne. Hello? The book of Revelation, John said his eyes were as fire. Christ's eyes were as fire. It's not x-ray vision like Superman that looks. He already knows that. He sees hair as wool, judge. He that's rejected as Savior is now to be faced as judge. And the Bible said the Father has committed judgment to the Son. He has the right to judge. He is the one that was wronged. He is the one that was spurned. He's the one that people would rather have their sin than have his salvation. He's not doing it out of meanness. The wrath of God that is spoken of in the book of Revelation is justifiable anger. A holy God has every right to judge sin that is unconfessed and unforgiven. He not only has the right, he has the responsibility. He can't remain holy and let it go. That's why he punished our sins in his Son, so we could go free. There won't be any excuse for not receiving Jesus. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness more than the light. He that's of the light comes to the light. He's open, he's honest, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in light. But there are people today, and the majority of people, Jesus said, what you won't hear from preachers, you will hear from Jesus. And I think it's high time preachers tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, straight is the gate that leads to life eternal. Narrow is the way. Straight doesn't mean a perfect line that is squared. No, straight means that there will be pressure against this way. If you're looking for the easy way, it is not the right way. You're looking for the Broadway, if you're looking for the 6-lane superhighway to heaven, it doesn't exist. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Hear it. Few. That's not my opinion. That's what Jesus said. Few. Few. In relation to all the people living on this planet, only a few are going to heaven. I want to be one of them. Amen. That's not just a New Orleans jazz song when the saints go marching in. I want to be. I'm serious about this thing. I'm on the King's highway. Amen. It is a straight way. The world is against me, but the cross is before me and Jesus is beside me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The wind is contrary, but I'm pressing. I'm pressing. You either press or the world will pull you back. I'm pressing. I've been preaching for over 40 years and I'm still pressing in my personal walk. Everybody that quit pressing is going back. A current of the world. You don't have to decide that. You'll find yourself back without making a conscious decision. Just quit pressing on and see what happens. I used to go to the Hillsborough River State Park when we went on an old Cushman scooter, and it wasn't one of those Cushman Eagles either. It wasn't one of them centrifugal clutch. You just get on it and twist it and go. Me and my buddy on that old Cushman, it popping, sounded like a lawnmower that needed plugs. Amen. And we rode from Sefner Mango to the Hillsborough River State Park, parked that old Cushman. We'd go way down about, you know where the bridge was? Oh, swinging bridge, Hillsborough River. Anybody been there when they had that old bridge, old rickety bridge? We'd go past that bridge. We didn't think about alligators. We're young and crazy and stupid and ignorant and all of that, having the time of our life because too stupid to know how dangerous we were living. 301 on that silly scooter, wouldn't do over 35 wide open with both of us on it, and them big trucks out there on 39. My Lord, I want a motorcycle. Get around them, get away from them at least. Can you say, man, don't get behind them, don't get in front of them, don't sit beside of them. Get CSMI. Twist the throttle, go. We didn't have, this is it. This is all she does. You think they were Allstate? Probably an Allstate. That's probably what. Anyway, it was centrifugal clutch. You just turn it, and it did all that itself. No gear shift, no nothing. Just go. But it got us to where we wanted to be, and we'd go out past that bridge, walk way down the river, and we'd find an old log somewhere, roll it over into the river. We didn't think about water moccasins. We didn't think about alligators. We're going to have some fun today. There's an area where you could swim down there, and we put the log in way down the river. And you know what we did? We just grabbed a hold of the log, and the river took us. That's all we had to do. Just hold on to the log, and the current just took us all the way down. Alligator saying, I can't believe this. Look at all. If they wasn't, alligators must have been in shock to see what they were seeing, all them dangling. Say, boy, I love white meat. We didn't get in the sun much. Them white legs just gleaming down in that water in the sunshine. The current took us. The current took us. The current took us. We didn't have to do anything. We just hang on to the log and the river's going to take us where it's going. You don't have to go back. Just quit pressing forward. The current will take you. We are upstream Christians in a downstream world. And we need to learn how vital it is that we press toward the mark. It's not enough to just go to church. You've got to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. You get heaven through in. You escape hell as a bonus. But the highest calling of the Christian as the highest purpose of God for the Christian. How many can agree the highest calling of the Christian is the highest purpose of God for the Christian? Well, what did he set fivefold ministry in the church for? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Till we come to the unity of the faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of who? Jesus. Can you say amen? Romans 8:28 leaves out something so vital to God's purpose and to our cooperating with it. For whom he did for. Listen, Romans 8:28, we just grab it and run with it. It's the knot at the end of the rope to help us hang on. And it's a good scripture. For we do know that all things work together for good. To who? To everybody that sits in church on Sunday? No, to those who love the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't love God, you're not without love. You're going to love something. The Bible said you can't serve two masters. This is a love issue. For you will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You cannot. They're teaching you today that you can, and it's God's will. No, you cannot serve God and mammon. What is mammon? It's not just money for the sake of money. It's what money does for one. Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. Can you say, man, it's a system that blinds us to eternal spiritual truths and realities and has us living for the moment to gratify our flesh with no consideration of our soul and where it spends eternity. And it's a blinding thing. They that would be rich, that's your goal in serving Christ or in doing anything. They that would be rich fall into many deceitful snares and hurtful sins and pierce themselves through. The devil don't have to do it. With many sorrows. You think everybody that's got money is happy? The trial just ended in Tampa. A lady that worked for the sheriff's department in Polk County. Office manager. Her husband was part of the security team for Walmart stores. They had a beautiful home a couple of Christmases ago. They have beautiful children. They have beautiful automobiles parked in the driveway. They have good careers and good salaries. And he walks in the bedroom, first to the garage, and he gets a metal ball bat, and he walks into the bedroom and beats his wife to death. Comes and tells his son that his mother's now an angel and she'll always be watching over him. Drives to the Plant City Police Headquarters and turns himself in. I just killed my wife. They still can't determine why he did it. But I'm going to tell you something. The money won't solve these issues. The bigger home and better home won't solve it. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. All of the things the world can offer can't solve these things. But Jesus can and Jesus will. Can you say amen? When Brother Taylor sings that song, I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. That don't mean God won't provide for your physical needs. He cares about those things. But that is not the top shelf, and that is not the message that God wants his fivefold ministry to bring. It's a message that causes us to press for the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. Let's identify the prize a little further. Everybody say fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. Listen to what's supposed to happen in you. Somebody said one time, I've lost my mind and got the mind of Christ. Oh, really? Oh, really? Do you understand what the mind of? I agree with you, lost your mind. I have no problem with that. But whether you've got the mind of Christ, that can be contested by the Word of God. The Bible says, see, the mind has to be renewed before anything else happens in your life to make these radical changes. Be no more conformed to this world. You know what that word conform means in the Greek? Pressed into the world's mold. The world wants to press you into its mold, get you to follow its values, to be just like it. Marvel not when men shall hate you and revile you, cast out your name as evil. If the preacher is embraced by the world, he's not preaching the truth of God. The popular preachers of our day with the world, ones that Ophrah can be comfortable with, they are not the men of God that we need to hear from. If the world loves you, you have nothing to glory in, he said. They love the false prophets that came before you. Israel didn't need to be coddled. They need to be convinced that they needed a Savior and repent. so that God could keep them from the destruction that came. Now that kill who? The pretty boy popular preachers? No, the prophets. Somebody said, if you're going to be a prophet for God, you better pledge your head to heaven. If you're going to tell the truth today, it's not going to make you Mr. or Miss Popularity. If the world love you as a Christian, as a minister of the gospel, you have nothing to rejoice in. The Bible said it loved the false prophets that came before you. Amen. But when the world hate you, cast your name out as evil, tell manner of lies about you, rejoice! You wonder why I'm so happy some Sundays? Because I've been getting it in the neck from the world and from worldly Christians. Hallelujah! I'm still pressing toward the mark, standing for the truth. I'm a preacher of righteousness, and I'm not ashamed of that gospel that calls men to repentance and marks them and seals them for heaven. Hallelujah! I can do without you, but I can't do without Him. And I love you, and I don't want to do without you. Please don't quit me, but if you do, I'm going on. Woo! I got that attitude. I got to have it, because I don't know who's going to go with me anymore. But I pray that you're not of them that turn back into perdition. You're a different ilk. You're a different breed. You're of them that believe all the way to the saving of the soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Woo! Oh, I feel His good favor here today. Hallelujah! 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 All things, Romans 8:28, work together for good to them that love the Lord. Verse 29 said, and are the called according to His purpose. No, that's still in 28. Now we're going to define 28. We're going to see the prize of the high calling again. Heaven is through in as a bonus. It's not the ultimate goal of God in your life. For whom? Here's your destiny. Everybody say, my destiny. Here it is. You don't need Madam whoever to read your palm. God's got your destiny all set in the Word of God. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Can you say, man, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Paul said, that's the mark. That's what I'm pressing for. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm looking for. Because when He comes, because I'm keeping on, amen, I'm going to see Him as He is, because I'm going to be like Him. Just like Him. Fullness of the measure of the stature. I will not be divine, but I will have all of His characteristics. I will have His demeanor. I'll have His goodness, His kindness. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Let this mind, let this mind, let this mind. Everybody say, this mindset, can you say amen, be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who, though He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, He humbled Him. He made of Himself no reputation. He humbled Himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. If you're going to follow me, you've got to have this mindset. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow my example. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants His church to start looking like His Son. He wants our values to match His. Our commitment to match His. Our devotion to match His. Our morals to change. There's so much sin in the church, and it's accepted in the name of love and tolerance. Where are the miracles? Where's God intervening? Where's the power? Where's the presence? Where's the holy? Where's the fear of the Lord? Young people sit and talk through services. No regard for God, His servant, His house, or His word. But they're in the building. Yeah, but they're in the world, in their heart. They don't know God, and right now they do not care. They don't care. They're unconvicted and unconvinced that they're lost. Group of kids went to Disneyland at one of these nights of joy. There was so much just pure vague lyrics and hard rock. And honey, I'm a hard rocking preacher. I believe in rock and roll. My feet are on the rock. My name is on the roll. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm a contemporary gospel guy. I like good music. I don't like singing that old song about half the speed it's supposed to be sung and call it worship. I like to dance and shout and holler high hosannas to the king. I like a bass. Boom, 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 boom. I like a drum. Hallelujah. I like a trumpet, the cymbal, the high trance. If there was a psaltery, bring it on. And a harp. Praise God. I love that stuff. But when it just gets worldly and it doesn't cause you to want to worship, doesn't give, listen to me. One young man that just came out the drug culture and came out of the hard rock world went to that and he said, I can't stay here. I can't stay here because this drawing me. This music is drawing me toward what I just got delivered from. Can you say, man, these kids that sit in Sunday school and don't listen, they don't get it. They want to be more like the world. Can you say, man, I was in that world and it about killed me, destroyed my immortal soul. I've come out of that world. Can you say, man, it got real bad in one concert and a preacher got up and walked out. He said, I'm not staying here in the name of Jesus. Music does matter. There's something holy. We can't secularize the holy. We can't strip God of His holiness and do anything we want and call it worship. People don't know when they leave that God is holy. They don't know that there's a hell to shun or a heaven to gain. They just had a foot tapping good time. You say, Brother Bumby, you're one of them. Absolutely. I tap my feet, I jump, and I run sometimes. But I do it because of Jesus. And anybody sitting in any concert or any church that isn't right with God ought to be convicted. It should bother them. It should trouble them. They should not be able to close their eyes at night. Amen. Until they get right with God. That close to eternity. Can you say amen? We need a revival in the Church of Jesus Christ. Not just more people in the building so the building fund looks good and the preacher feels successful. It's not a head count. It's hearts for Christ. Go into all the world and do what? Get people in a building and call it church. Go into all the world and make disciples unto me. What? Disciples unto Him? What do you have to do to be His disciple? You got to deny yourself, not gratify yourself. Can you say amen? You got to take up your cross. Amen. In order to follow Him. Let this mind be in you. Who is obedient to the what? The death of the cross. That's the cross. It's not you being persecuted. Poor me, I'm a Christian. And they're calling me names at work. Holy Joe, Holy Roller, holier than thou. Oh, poor me. No, you're not on the cross as long as you're thinking about you. You're only on the cross when you don't matter. He's what matters. And they can call you anything they want to. And you come to church and rejoice that you're not part of that crowd. You're part of this crowd. You're part of the family of God. Amen. Marvel not if the world what you? Hate you. It hated me before it hated you. And if you don't believe the world hates Him, just really sell out to Him and live for Him and they'll hate you too. You can join the club. Welcome to the club. If you want to play church, you could be in the world all week and in church on Sunday. And the world will embrace you. More people are listening to Ophrah's theology because of her influence and television. than they are some of the great preachers of our day. It's an amazing day to be living. When God's grandest desire is that you live in a palatial place, drive the best, that He give you everything you want. And guess what? Everything you want is all of this world. That's your goal. And that is the message that is permeated and pervaded Pentecostalism. It's not about power. It's not about the purpose of God. It's about what I can get and hold in my hands. Just like the guy at work, he said, I just bought me a Rolex. He just divorced his wife a couple of years ago and saved up his money. I don't know how you can divorce and save money, but he did it somehow. Did y'all hear about Barbie? Guy was going to buy a doll for his daughter. How much that Barbie doll? $80,000. They just sold the Batmobile from the 70s. That old silly one. Yeah. For a baby, yeah. Batmobile sold for $4.3 million. And it ain't the new one that's so snazzy. It's that old campy, crazy-looking thing. Hey, man, look like an old Plymouth to me. Amen. Good fence. Yeah, I had one of them. But it wasn't a Batmobile. It was a Badmobile to me. But guy goes in, he's going to buy this Barbie doll. And he goes to this shop that has Barbie dolls for sale. And he said, how much is that Barbie doll? I said, that's Malibu Barbie. She comes with a surfboard. She cost $25. They bought about that one. That's Christmas Barbie. She's in her Christmas gown. She cost $35. He went down the line about six Barbies, different Barbies with different things, and none of them got over about $50 back then. And he came to another one and said, how much for that Barbie right there? I said, well, that Barbie right there, that Barbie cost $1,000. I said, $1,000? I said, yeah, that's divorce Barbie. She come with Ken's house, Ken's car, Ken's motorcycle. But no Ken, that's right. You don't get Ken, but you get everything he owned. Sometimes it's cheaper to keep him. Can you say amen? He got the shaft. Yeah, I've heard the song. I know what that's all about. Listen carefully. The world out there don't have a clue about this. We're supposed to be in the know. The Bible said knowing that the earth as we know it isn't going to stay like it is. When God's wrath hits it, it's going to be a purifying fire. And the elements are going to melt. The stars, the universe as we know it, is not going to remain the same. Can you say, man, there's going to be a new heaven. And there's going to be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But God's going to purge this old sucker down here. And it's not His will that any man perish, any woman, boy, or girl perish, but that all have eternal life. But honey, the world is going to throw out all it has to offer to distract and dissuade people from choosing that eternal over this temporal, that spiritual over this tangible material world. Amen. I am so sick of hearing a material message when souls are on their way to either heaven or hell. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. There's no other place to spend eternity. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. You are, in fact, Christian or non-Christian. You're coming out of the grave. You're coming out of the ground. If you die at sea, the sea's going to spit you out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to stand before Revelation chapter 20 says you're going to stand before the great white throne. And the books are going to be opened. That means everything, every idle word, not only the deeds we did, but every idle word, thou shalt give an account of. We think God doesn't care anymore because He doesn't strike. No, judgment is coming. God doesn't have to move now. He's going to move then. Every idle word, thou shalt give an account of. in the day of judgment. The books will be open, and men will be judged according to their works. It's not to see if they're going to heaven. These people couldn't get in heaven because they've rejected the only way to heaven. The Bible said the false prophet's going to be there. The Antichrist is going to be there, and every unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl from day one is going to be there. And they are going to be cast into the lake of fire. All of them. No one's going to rule. No one's going to reign. And it's forever. And here's what God says to you and me. Here's an incentive today. Blessed and holy is he. You know what the Bible called that great white throne judgment? This is the second death. It is not physical death. It is spiritual death in the sense of banishment and punishment. This, how come we don't hear about that? Is it in the Bible? Is it going to happen? Why don't we hear about it? Why don't preachers tell us about it? Do you believe somebody that is lost deserves to know that? Do you believe every Christian needs to know that? So that we can quit playing games with God. We can make some deep commitments that will hold when the tempter comes, when the devil pushes against us, that we can push back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That we can stand having done all. Stand. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. This, the Bible said, is the second death. That means raised from the dead to be banished and punished forever. This banishment, this punishment, it's the second death, and you got to be raised from the first death to experience the second death. That means everybody on this planet is going to live again. Everybody on this planet is going to live forever. Christians are not the only people that are going to experience resurrection. Amen? Amen. So the issue isn't, are you going to be raised from the dead? The issue is, where you're going to live forever? That's the issue. That's the core of why Christ came to this fallen world. It's not his will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the second chapter of the book would not only, first would be whatever happened to heaven. Second would be whatever happened to hell. It's as if neither one really exists anymore. Man is focusing on the here and now and the present. And our focus has to be raised. Amen. It has to be raised. Lift up your heads. He's coming soon. Praise God. And to them that look, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then it goes on, and here's our incentive in closing. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in what? The first resurrection. When does that occur? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And when he comes down, everybody that has ever lived and died in him is going to go up. Can you say, man, whether you died at sea, whether you were consumed by a fire, whether you're in a cemetery, don't make no difference. He's got your DNA. He don't need your mummy. Can you say, man, you're going to be changed, honey, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Corruption's going to put on incorruption. Mortal's going to put on immortality. And our vile body that can decay and die is going to be fashioned after his glorious body. Can you say, man, hallelujah. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them. You say, Pastor, rapture's not in the Bible. I know it isn't, but it is a descriptive word of this event, because rapture means to snatch away with great power. Amen. And God is going to snatch away those that he has marked with his spirit as his very own. Can you say amen? Woo! Oh, yes, he is. Blessed. That's you today. I don't care what your bank account is. I don't care what your circumstance is. If you're saved today, blessed are you. Because you're going to have part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death hath no power. At the great white throne, the people that are being judged are only those whose names were not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wow. God told the church through John's letter, the book of Revelation, one of the seven, he said to be faithful, to keep the faith, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. Can you say, man, told another where people are going to die for the faith. He said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. The prize of the high calling is to be like his son, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Can you say, man? When a church starts growing, it starts taking on the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? A replication and reproduction of the character of Christ. It's not your goodness. That won't take you far. You'll be good to them that are good to you. It has to supersede that. It has to be something the Holy Spirit can override your normal and bring his supernatural. It's his goodness. It's his love. It's not your love. I've had people tell me how much they love me for 40 years. I'm so tired of it. Please don't quit telling me, but mean it. I love you, Brother Benbow. That's great. That's great. Someone told me after 23 years the other day, just the other day, 23 years I haven't seen you, heard. They don't know if I'm alive or dead. And don't care. But they love me. 23 years. I love you. Oh, really? You don't know if I'm hungry or starving, dead or alive, naked or clothed. But you really do love me. What a cheap word that has become. What a cheap word it is when we use it in relation to God. Amen. I love you, Lord. I love you. Oh, how I love Jesus. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. And they won't be what? Grievous to him. He won't look like he's been sucking persimmons for obeying God. Why callest thou? Remember we sing, he is Lord. He is Lord. What a lovely, sentimental little song. Why callest thou me? Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Let me tell you about this Lord, Lord thing. No man can truly call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. You can't just join the church and mouth and parrot the words. He has to be your Lord. For many, here's that word as we close today, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. We've done mighty works in your name. We've even cast out devils in your name. You don't want this to happen. Here's where we put it to the test. This is where we get it right. You don't wait till you die and try to figure it out and fake it till you make it. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord. They're sitting in a church somewhere convinced they're going to heaven and no one will challenge them. One lady got saved recently, said she was in church from 5 years old up every day of her life. And she had never heard the gospel that calls people to repentance, the gospel that calls people to salvation. She was sprinkled when she was a baby and she thought that's all there is. My membership and my sprinkling and my little paper to say it happened is all I need. Not on that day. Not on that day. Many, not a few. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in there. When the saints go marching in, it's not just a jazzy little song out of Louisiana. It is my song. I want and I intend to be in that number. We used to sing at the church, "Don't go, won't hinder me. Honey, I'm on a journey right now. I want this church to go with me. But if this church don't go and people want to sit home, it's not going to stop me from what God has called me to preach and called me to be and called me to do. I'm not asking for everybody to get behind me. I got somebody with me." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And this gospel is going into all the world, and the end is going to come when it does. And I'm part of that. And he's part of that, and we're part of that, because these messages go to the internet, and the internet goes to the nations of the world. God is good, isn't he? Hallelujah. To give us this holy opportunity. Praise God. Amen. Every knee. Let's finish the scripture in context. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God," amen, "he took on himself the form of," made of himself no reputation, "took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name that is named, of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God." Can you say amen? I've already done it. And I can say he's Lord by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his." He says to them that profess but don't possess, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He says to those he has sealed, "Come on in your mind." Hallelujah. "I've marked you. I've sealed you. I've given you the earnest of your inheritance before you even get home. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. The heavenly New Jerusalem records you as a citizen of heaven while you're still alive on earth." Being saved is something to shout about. Being saved is something to share with others. Can you say amen? Being saved is not just going to church and trying to keep the rules. Being saved is selling out your heart to God and following Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, if God is going to make you more like him, I don't have time for the second part of this message. And you probably couldn't stand much more anyway. "For as much," I'm going to give you one more scripture. "For as much," 1 Peter chapter 4. If this is the goal of God, then this is how we can achieve that, or how he's going to move in our lives to achieve it. Amen. "For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh." Just go to Gethsemane, to the olive press. "Arm yourself with the same mind. Let this mind, obedient to the death of the cross, let this mind, if there's any other way, let the cup pass. Nevertheless, not what I will, what you will be done." Arm yourself with the same mind. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. "For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." Sin doesn't reign anymore. Sin and Satan doesn't rule. Are you sinlessly perfect? No, but you're perfectly committed to a new master. Hallelujah. And you're willing to take up your cross and follow him in order to follow him. That sin no more reign in your body anymore. Amen. Arm yourself with the same mind, "For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh," arm yourself with the same mind, that you no more live your life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. That you live your life to what? The will of God. What is the highest will of God and purpose? "In you he is predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." Whatever breaks down your old flesh, whatever puts you in a place where it's only Jesus, everything you are and everything you have belongs to him, that is working together for your good and God's holy purpose. And it is the prize of the high calling. And if you're after something less or something else, it is the wrong thing. And that's why we're locked into churches filled with immature Christians that'll kill their pastor because they want him to be what only God can be to them. And he can't do it. I'm going to go on record in closing. I am not Dr. Phil. You'll have to turn on the boob tube to get Dr. Phil. I'm not a psychologist. I don't want to get in the deep recesses of your mind. Amen. I want you to get the mind of Christ. You're going to be okay. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you Jesus. And if he ain't enough, there ain't no point in looking at me for nothing. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here today. I like that song, I can't walk without Jesus. I can't talk without Jesus. Can you say, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being, and apart from him, we can't do anything but fail. Can you say, amen? Hallelujah. I love you today. I'm looking forward to preaching Jesus till he comes or I go to meet him. I'm looking forward to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter therein to the joy of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, 40 years I've been on the King's Highway. How many can tell I love walking this highway? Is it evident? These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of a prophetic message. These are the days when a people are going to be gathered from a people. These are the days of the separation. Amen. I believe that. Nationally, it's happening. The sheep and goat nations are being separated right now. Those that are trying to destroy Israel and those that are allying with her. That's the sheep and goat situation. Before it gets down to people, it starts with nations. And we're in a national conflict over a piece of land about the size of New Jersey. That when something happens there, it makes news around the world. Because that is God's time peace. And these are the last of the last days. Many shall give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. That means the pure truth of the gospel is going to be polluted in the last day. And deception is going to be all over. Because iniquity shall abound, many false prophets shall go out into the earth, sign of his coming, and deceive many, 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 many. And because iniquity shall abound, because people won't want to live holy anymore, and no one will call them to holiness. The love of many shall wax cold. And when the love for Christ and the love for God is gone, people don't want to come to church unless they see some show put on by the choir, some show put on by the preacher. Preachers become high-paid entertainers. Choirs entertain. Musical groups entertain. But the Holy Spirit doesn't convict. And the altars are empty. And God's people are at home in this world, competing with it instead of conflicting with it. That's got to change. And I won't change the message to get another dead person in the seat. I'm praying for the backslider to come back to God. I'm praying for the lost people in my family and yours to be convicted by the Holy Spirit till they can't sleep, they can't eat, till they get right with God. I do not want them here comfortable. I want them here conformable to what God has called them to be. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? Let's give God praise from our heart as we leave here today. Kept you a long time, I realize that. Gonna tell you again, this is not for your convenience. You say, Brother Bill, my stomach's growling. Well, your belly's not your God, is it? The Bible said there's some people whose belly had become their God. They didn't quit worshiping. They just started worshiping self instead of a holy God. Listen carefully. I won't change. You say, why don't you get with the program? We could do this. We could do that. We could have this. I want to see a real revival in America. When my son gets truly right, I want him to follow the truth. I don't want him to sit in church and go to hell. I'd rather he sit home lost and know he's lost than to sit in church and somebody tell him he's okay when he's not right with God. I'd rather lose you to another church than to have you sit here on the way to hell and be comfortable. I love you. I need you. I want you. And I believe God sent you, or else you need to pray harder next time. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm serious. If you show up here, I believe God sent you, because I don't believe there's no other reason for you to come. Hallelujah. God sent you back. He threw you a rope and pulled you. Did he put it around your neck or waist, or how did he get you here? I'm glad you came back. Put it around your horn. Okay, got you here anyway. Praise God. Amen. I believe you would leave. Because we just don't have enough amenities. If I quit preaching the truth, why would you come out here? I believe you're here because of the stand that I've taken. I believe you're here because you know God is here with us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Seven-nation kingdom's going to rise against Israel. It will turn to ten. The world church is forming. Prophecy's being fulfilled. And people are living like it's never going to happen. And yet, his coming is at the doors. And this is no time to be looking back. This is a time to be pressing on. Handabarushalabanite. Kesalabaritia. Mekalabasataya. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for what you've told us today. Lord, you're going to take us through this thing. If we will press, hallelujah, you will pull. I feel heaven. I feel like a piece of steel today. I don't mean hard. I'm just talking about, I feel like heaven and the heavenly city is a magnet. Have you ever got a magnet near metal? And the metal starts kind of shaking like that. Have you ever seen that happen? And you kind of hold it close, but it don't grab yet. But the metal is being pulled by a force that can't be seen toward that magnet. Well, I'm being pulled, Brother Taylor. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel that pull real strong. Praise God. Amen. I'm one of his. And I believe the Holy Ghost was on Mark, because we were talking about heaven. And Mark was excited about the heavenly city coming down. And could this be heaven? Yes, it could be. But amen. But I'll tell you something. When that time comes, it's just going to drop. Praise God. And I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Praise God. Let's lift him up in this song. God is good today. God is gracious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.